with Devorah's going to do a little teaching.
Yes, and as a psalmist, I feel led to help others to learn how to get closer to God in worship by first understanding what is the distinction between praise versus worship. All right, and if you missed any of the previous broadcasts, then you can go to my podcast sites at Podbean, Podomatic, or iTunes, and the name of the podcast is When I'm 64. Why is that, do you think, Rabbi?
Let me guess. Because when you were an old rock and roller years ago, that was one of your favorite songs.
I love that Beatles song. When I'm 64.
She's 64.
Yes, I just turned 64, so I decided to create a new podcast, and we're talking about praise and worship.
Praise God.
So, last week we discussed how our physical senses try to interfere with our minds during praise and worship.
Right.
So put yourself in the mindset where you're praising and worshiping in an assembly and pay attention. Imagine yourself in the posture while I read to you. This week I will talk about the other senses that should be engaged during praise and worship. Many of you may not even be aware that we have more than just our five physical senses. Imagine that, Rabbi.
Go figure.
Most present-day believers operate solely in their five physical senses, totally unaware that we're composed of body, soul, and spirit, each with a set of five senses.
Really?
Yes.
Now,
Now, Scripture gives a clue to this revelation in the book of Thessalonians. This is the word of God. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So for some reason in the scripture, it makes a distinction because there are different senses for each of those three categories, spirit, soul, and body. Last week we talked about the body, the physical senses. This week we're going to talk about the soul. Now, the physical senses are like entering through the outer gate of your temple, the body being the temple where the spirit resides. Now, get it. Think about this. If we get distracted by things in the yard, we may never get to the house. It requires effort and great discipline to go beyond our five physical senses while in praise.
Mm.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Matthew 5:8. Do you truly want to see God?
Yes.
Okay. For us to have a pure heart, our heart must be focused. If we are to see God, then the one element our heart contains, the one element, must be a focus on the Lord. And that focus allows us to have only God on our minds as we praise and worship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So let's talk about the five soul senses.
Okay.
Pay attention now, because this might sound kind of hokey to some of you. Right? Experience and culture dictate our own individual reactions to taste, touch, smell, sound, and sight through our soul.
Hmm.
For example, smell brings back memories.
Right.
If I were to give flowers to an individual, it may bring back good memories like flowers from a wedding. But if I gave the same flowers to another person, it may bring back bad memories from a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, this is not a physical reaction to the flowers or their smell. It is a reaction from the individual soul.
Mm.
Think about that.
Interesting.
If two people are walking together and they cross the path of a dog, one individual may like dogs and begin to pet the dog.
Another
However,
may kick the dog.
The second person may be afraid. No, I didn't want to say kick the dog.
Right.
And begin to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
This is also a response from the individual soul senses. The way we see the world and the way we hear others is affected by the condition of our soul.
Hmm.
Also, the willingness to touch certain things like a snake may be easy for some or terrifying for others,
right,
depending on the condition of the soul.
Right.
Even the taste of some foods will bring varied responses from different people. The human soul has senses just like the physical body.
Interesting.
Each category of senses has a realm that it interacts with. The physical senses interact with the physical realm. The soul senses interact with the interpersonal realm. And the spirit has senses that interact with the spiritual realm, which I will talk about in next week's teaching. So come back next week, y'all. Okay? But let me say to Christians that understand salvation in Jesus Christ. After we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we commit to following Him, right? In order to follow Him, we need to learn His ways, which we do by studying the book He taught from, being primarily the Torah, which are the first five books of Moses. Jesus Christ spent a lot of time in prayer, and so should we daily. He didn't have quickie prayers, Rabbi.
No, He didn't.
No, He didn't. But prayers in hours of duration. And yes, it is a struggle, for we see several times in the New Testament where the disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. Okay? And who was He praying to?
His Father.
The Father, yes. This tells us that heartfelt prayers require more time, and it is something that our animal soul isn't much interested in, unless we discipline ourselves to the task.
Right.
Note the word disciple. At its root word is discipline. Yes. And if you don't know about the animal soul, listen to last week's teaching where I tell you what it is. It's in Christianity, it's called the flesh or the carnality. The Bible talks about living a consecrated, set-apart life after salvation. In order to do this, we have to be obedient to the commandments that the Father has given to us. It is in obedience to God's commands that we obtain a spirit of holiness and begin to enter the kingdom of God by walking in His Spirit or by the Spirit. This requires us to surrender our animal soul's tendencies. Anything that the flesh craves that's contrary to the Word of God is the animal soul. This requires us to surrender. It requires us to constrain ourselves from sin. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ is talking about studying the Torah and internalizing His Word to the point where we are able to have power to overcome temptation without wavering.
Kim asks a question that I think deserves an answer now because it's relevant.
Okay.
Are the soul and human emotions the same thing?
Good question.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yes. And
thank you, Kim.
Very good question. Now, emotions are triggered from the mind. So first comes the thoughts. So actually the emotions come from your mind. And we are commanded by God to put on the mind of Christ. So an emotion comes from what you are thinking.
And that's soulish, because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So.
Good question, Kim.
Yeah,
thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Now, many Christians unhitch themselves from a committed lifestyle in Hashem.
Many.
Now, these people will go to church faithfully and even talk a good talk. But when you see them behind closed doors, you discover that they have not consecrated their eyes or their hands or their mouths. Now, in order to truly live the lifestyle that Jesus Christ lived and the one we are to follow, we must study His Word more than one day a week. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. If you listen to anyone for any period of time, you will soon discover what their God is by the content of their words.
Amen.
So if somebody's casting you the F-bomb every other sentence, you can tell that they probably had their eyes in the wrong place.
And their hearts.
Yes. It's hard, because didn't you just finish working in a place that was...
I just left a place that had 20 young kids working there, and the F-bomb was like every other word, and I had to leave.
It's really hard.
So
the book of Joshua talks about meditating on the word day and night, and that means to study and rehearse the word, speaking to your animal soul aloud, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and becoming transformed daily by the renewing of your mind, putting away those things that you used to do before salvation, learning the word of God by study, in understanding what things do not please the Father.
Right.
Those things that the animal soul craves. Mm-hmm. Yes, like supersize it, please.
Be nice.
That would be gluttony, wouldn't
no
it?
Doubt, no.
Okay. No. Asking God to heal the soulless realm within you that is still broken after salvation.
Right.
So that you can walk in the newness of life in the Torah and have an undivided mind for God during praise and worship.
Right.
Now I want you to pay attention. The soul is not transformed during salvation. The soul is not transformed during salvation. The word says to renew your soul by putting on the mind of Christ. Whatever you fill your mind with on a daily basis is feeding your soul.
That's it.
What are you spending the most time with daily? God, of his word, or the world, and the things it offers to your animal soul? An example of a new creature in Christ immediately after salvation experience is one who continues to fornicate or commit adultery after getting saved. Do you know anybody in that category? That is the animal soul getting its own way,
right,
instead of the way of God. That part of the soul needs restoration. So what is that person to do? Find all of the scriptures that speak against that sin. Say them out loud and rehearse it and meditate on it day and night until it is internalized within you and you're able to become stronger and submit to the word of God and your flesh has to surrender.
Right.
But it's a discipline. It's not like, yay, I'm saved, now I'm just going to go to heaven, I'll keep living the way I did before I got saved, because Jesus did it all. I don't have to do a thing. Okay, wrong. Okay. All right, studying the word is paramount for the spirit of holiness to enter in.
Right.
You become a conduit for Hashem, no longer fickle, no longer wishy-washy. No longer praising God with your lips while your eyes are assessing someone's physical garments standing in front of you while you're in church. This is Gevurah. Would you like to show them the slide, Gevurah?
Yes.
Gevurah. That Jesus Christ told his disciples about in talking about the kingdom of God. Gevurah is the power that his disciples waited for in the upper room as they studied together the Torah, saturating their minds with his words to a point where they were full of the word of God. And at this point of fullness, the spirit of holiness has a home in your temple and mine to reside and manifest the power of God within you. It is at this point in your walk with God that you, and I have the power to constrain ourselves from every sin that tries to bind us.
Indeed.
And the temptation that surrounds us. So we have to meditate on the word day and night, like God says. We need to discipline ourselves to become conduits for the Shekinah to manifest within us.
Explain that. Shekinah.
Shekinah. I think, Rabbi, you can tell us.
Well, the Shekinah, it means the radiant glory of God. And it's the aspect of God that, according to Jewish tradition, is the feminine nature of God. You know, it says in the beginning, God created man, male and female, did he create them? And so the feminine, and he created them in his image, right? So the Shekinah is the feminine aspect of God.
Amen. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Lindsay asked the question, when you say animal soul, is this equivalent to the flesh?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And Linda says, I'm unable to get into your guy's second week. And then she says, I'm here. So praise God. We're glad you made it.
We're glad you're here.
Yes.
All right. So let me wrap this up. So put on the mind of Christ that his word is firmly planted in your soul. And you will no longer desire the things of the flesh, the animal soul, excuse me, that drives us before salvation. But instead, you will be a wholehearted seeker of God with an undivided Torah mind and soul.
Amen.
So let us put on the garment of praise and be delivered from all of those things that the soul and physical part of us craves, and let us praise God in the Spirit.
To Israel, an everlasting Brit. To Israel, an everlasting Brit.